Heavenly Father, this morning, I just want to thank you for the events that have recently taken place in your church, in our lives, that have come out in print in the Adventist Review, the prayers that are ascending everywhere around the world on behalf of new leaders, new vision, a new sense of commitment to your word and your will for our lives. And we pray, Father, together today for open hearts. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of those who have been elected and the lives of those that will be part of the support around the world, either officially or in volunteer ways. And we pray that your blessings will be with us this morning as we unfold this book of Daniel, that you will teach us, you will guide us, you will bless us for thy name's sake and your glory, we pray. Amen. Well, we come to this final segment of our series, Character in Crisis, with the words, standing on a purpose, true, heeding God's command. This song that refers to Daniel and his little band. You know the song. You've sung it as a kid, as a young adult. You've sung it to your kids, with your kids. That song that says, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Let's sing it together. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. I knew that you knew that. And this is our final journey in our study of wisdom literature. But before we do, I want to quickly capsule where we have been. You'll remember we started out with Ecclesiastes, which challenged us with the meaning and the purpose of life, and how when we don't have that meaning and that purpose in our life can be a drag. We can lose joy. We can lose a sense of assurance. We can lose a sense of orientation in life, and how recovery of joy, the recovery of joy is linked to a connection with God, and how God and our journey with Him is ultimately the center of reality of our journey in life. And true wisdom will always fear God and keep His commandments. True wisdom will always do that. Then we learned about how our characters can be thrown into crisis when we are under pressure, when we're experiencing difficulties and trials and sickness and ailments and setbacks and failures and all kinds of things. And we cry out, our hearts instinctively cry out to God, why is this happening, or where are you, God? And in the midst of these things that trouble our hearts so much, true wisdom is to find the presence of God and to be assured of the presence of God no matter what we are experiencing. Then we stepped into the book of Proverbs, and you'll remember we learned about two women and but one road, and how constantly throughout life you have wisdom as it in its beauty and in its truthfulness and what it can bring to us by lifting us up, draws us as it were a beautiful woman. But also evil presents itself as a seductress, also a beautiful woman. And back and forth we're confronted with the realities of the moral, spiritual issues of life. But ultimately we are asked to be, to have a teachable spirit and to be open people before God and to be surrendered to God. And that's the bottom line of wisdom in reclaiming holiness is to have a teachable spirit. A wise man, a wise woman will have a teachable spirit. They will be a learner. Then we learned from Song of Songs the call to intimacy, not just physical intimacy in the setting of marriage, but the emotional inner heart kind of connections that we are to have with God and with our fellow human beings. And then we studied the book of Psalms together, packed all those 150 chapters into one broad picture that our lives can be thrown into moral, spiritual chaos and crisis. Our character can be in crisis as the world seems to focus our thinking in so many ways, and we find ourselves worshiping unwittingly because we put so much time and energy and talent and passion towards certain things that ultimately God wants us to restore those spiritual disciplines that produce a piety, that produce a relationship with Him where we worship and we grow. So this is where we have been in this journey. And today we conclude with Daniel focusing on a recovery of steadfastness. A recovery of steadfastness. That there is wisdom in holding on. There is wisdom in holding on to what one has learned and what one has been called to be and do as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ in this world. And so today's topic from the book of Daniel, character in crisis, radiant till the end. Here we have in Daniel chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, words that have already been read for us as part of our scripture gathering this morning. Those who have insight or wisdom, depending on the translation, those who have insight or wisdom or knowledge will shine bright like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal the words and seal up the book until the end of time, or the time of the end, depending on which translation you're reading and how the Hebrew is nuanced there. Until the end of time, or the time of the end, many will go back and forth. They will run to and fro, as the King James Version says, and knowledge will increase. So here, in the closing chapter of the book of Daniel, we are confronted with the reality of wisdom and knowledge and the impact that that has on destiny. And it not only talks about wisdom and knowledge in a general way, but as you've heard in many evangelistic series, that this running to and fro, this increase of knowledge, is not the increase of knowledge in terms of sending satellites into to space and putting people on the moon, or being able to explore the intricacies and the complexities of the human body and all the other kinds of knowledge that has been burgeoning and blossoming in our world. But it is just talking about a knowledge and an understanding of the prophetic images and the meanings and the mysteries of the book of Daniel. And so this knowledge, this wisdom, is linked to the great events of Michael standing up for his people during a time of trouble which the world has never seen. This knowledge and this wisdom is linked to an individual's name being written in the books of life, which our text, verses 1 and 2, imply. It is linked to which resurrection you come up in, the resurrection of the just or the resurrection of damnation. This knowledge, this wisdom is linked to whether or not Michael, the great prince, stands to deliver you, or whether you will be overcome in the end. So this is crucial wisdom, incredible wisdom. Now, when we think of Daniel and the wisdom literature, there's a natural thought that comes to our mind. I thought that Daniel was prophecy. Why, Pastor Larry, are you saying that Daniel is wisdom literature? Well, in the Hebrew arrangement of the scriptural books, Daniel is lumped there with the writings and the Psalms and the wisdom literature. It's not lumped with the prophetic material. But also, when you open the book of Daniel, you find on the one hand that it is filled with visions, dreams, and prophecies. Yes, it is a prophecy. And we all know that. That's solidly rooted in our psyche and our imagination as a Seventh-day Adventist community. But the book of Daniel is also filled with wisdom imagery. As you read the book from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 12, you have continued wisdom vocabulary. The words like wisdom and understanding and interpretation and mysteries and symbols and things like this. That so you have the vocabulary. Then you have the narratives themselves, the stories of the book of Daniel, where individuals are confronted with the demands to produce and demonstrate their wisdom, or they are demonstrating their lack of wisdom, their ignorance or whatever. And so you have the idea of wisdom or the lack of wisdom and the whole role of Daniel as an interpreter, all right? An interpreter of mysteries, okay? An interpreter of secrets, all right? So here you have this idea of wisdom and the fact that Daniel says, it's not me, but it's God. God is the one who reveals the secrets because it is God who has given the picture of the flow of time and eternity and the great issues in that flow of time and eternity that are unfolded in the flow of these prophetic images. And then you have the prophecies themselves, like we've just read, that says that in the time of the end, many will run to and fro. Many will go back and forth. Many will search back and forth. And knowledge will be increased. Or, like here at the end, when true wisdom is revealed in the lives of a people who are radiant with light and who are sharing that light and that truth, causing others to become, to choose righteousness and purity. So the idea of wisdom is throughout the book of Daniel. So Daniel is a prophecy, but it is also a book of wisdom. Daniel is a prophet, and Daniel is also a wise man. So we want to have a little look this morning at Danielic wisdom. There are deep secrets and mysteries of the issues of life and history and the future which call for insight, which call for wisdom, which call for understanding, which call for interpretation, which call for decision. The fact of the matter is that some of these very truths have been handed to us. They've been laid before us as an Adventist community, and we're talking about secrets and mysteries of the issues of history, of the great controversy, and they demand our attention, they demand our focus, and they demand our taking these things to bring insights to others. However, I am in the process of memorizing the book of Hebrews, and I'm up to chapter 8 at this point, and I remember working on that section at the close of chapter 5, where it says, by now, you should be teachers, but you have come to need again someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need again milk rather than solid food. So the reality is in the first century, Paul was writing to a group of Christians who should have been growing and maturing and becoming wise, having their senses trained through the practice so that they could discern good and evil. And this is what the book of Daniel points towards in terms of a final generation as well. So let's have a look at Danielic wisdom here this morning. The kind of wisdom that draws in all the other elements of wisdom that we've looked at and kind of put it on the plate and demand a decision on our part. And I begin with the reality that character crisis comes within the clash of worldviews and cultures. Right? We've been exploring the importance of wisdom literature in the setting of Character crisis. And the reality is that our characters are thrown into crisis when we are confronted with worldviews and cultures that are different than what we've been trained, different than what we know to be right, or we don't really realize the impact of that culture in our life. And we see this in the life of Daniel. Here in Daniel 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Now, we all are familiar with this opening narrative in Daniel, where Daniel now is confronted with Babylonian culture. His name has been changed. His food has been changed. His environment has been changed. His clothing has been changed. And now he has to go to school, and he has to study all the sophistries and all the knowledge of Babylon. And in that setting, Daniel understands that here we have worldview and we have cultures in conflict. Worldview and culture that is different from what he learned as a Hebrew young person. Different from the culture and life that he learned as a believer in the living Creator, God of heaven. And in those early days of his experience in Babylon, his character was thrown into crisis. Because the culture of Babylon, the worldview of Babylon, was running roughshod over everything that he'd been taught and believed. And it is here that character is determined. In the conflict of these cultures and worldviews. And it demands us to ask ourselves, what is our worldview? What is your worldview as a Seventh-day Adventist? And how is your worldview? How are you to think and to act and behave differently? And are you willing? Let me ask it this way. Do you have enough spiritual insight? Do you have wisdom enough to know that some of the little things of life determine, they are the hinge of which destiny and larger issues play on? Daniel understood that, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with things that were placed before him on the king's table. This wisdom revolves around prophetic insight. Prophetic insight brings conviction, it brings identity, and it brings commitment. You see, Daniel, as a young man, had read the Scriptures. Daniel had heard the book of Deuteronomy that promised the blessings and the curses. And the blessings and the curses were prophetic material, so to speak, in the sense of outlining history. All right, he had seen the revival under young King Josiah. And then he saw the effects of that revival. The biggest revival that ever took place in all of Israel under this young king, Josiah. He saw this revival turned on its head by the next king who turned his heart against God. And Daniel saw these things. He understood these things. He intuited these things. And as he looked at that prophetic worldview, as he looked at the picture of which God had outlined for the flow of history and how history could turn and individual lives would turn back and forth depending on how they responded to the Word of God, it brought conviction to his own heart. Not only did it bring conviction to his own heart, it brought a sense of identity. That if this is what God was saying, if this is where God was, if this is what God outlined as the future, then he would certainly stand fully on God's side because this is where he would choose to identify. And this is why prophecy, apocalyptic prophecy, is so important. I know we struggle as an Adventist community. We've been preaching some of these things for well over 100 years, almost 150 years, since 1844, we've been preaching these things. And some of us want to soften down on the prophecies, but those prophecies, the prophetic picture, is what builds conviction and identity and leads our hearts to commitment. Because that apocalyptic prophecy, whether we find it in Daniel, and then as it overlaps and it mirrors with the book of Revelation, whether we find it in Matthew 24, or in Titus chapter 2, or in Mark 13, or the other great prophetic sections of Scripture, we find that apocalyptic prophecy creates a worldview. It gives us that big picture. For us, that big picture is the great controversy between Christ and Satan of a creator God, a good God, and an enemy who will destroy creation and even get our minds away from the theme of creation. It unfolds a philosophy of history and where history is going. That's why it is so important. We're not just living here, not row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. No, that stream is going to turn to rapids. And then that rapids is going to turn to waterfall. And it's not just a little waterfall. It is a big waterfall. It reveals the meaning and the purpose of life. The apocalyptic prophecy connects values and choices and character and behavior and ultimate destiny. Puts it all together. The choices that you make today, the behavior that you make, that you have in your life, where your character is today, it makes a difference in terms of eternity and destiny. And apocalyptic, prophetic material and wisdom connects these things for us. This is what gives us identity. This is what gives us passion. And it also engenders conviction and identity and commitment, as we've already spoken. And ultimately, it invites a radical response. This is the beauty of prophetic wisdom. This is the beauty of the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. You cannot read this material and walk away and say, "Oh, that was nice reading." When you read this material, you go away saying, "I have to do something." You either, and that doing something is either to say, "Oh, it's not that important," or you say in your heart, "That is so important that I have to do something about it." It invites a radical response. And in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, that radical response is the commitment and the surrender and the total absorption of the people of God in the work of God, even to the place. Even to the place where they lose their lives and all that they have for the sake of those truths, because of what those truths say about their God and what those truths say about time and eternity, about choices now and choices in the future. Just real quickly, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but when you come to Revelation chapter 12, you have the reference to the 1260 days, the 1290 days, the 1335 days, and these are all in relationship to the 2300 days. And those of you that have been in the Daniel journey, we spent some time talking about this, and these are confusing verses that are verses that are often confusing to Adventists as we're reading chapter 12, and we've learned that these verses all revolve around the 1260 and leading up to 1844, and it is these time prophecies that give us a sense of nailing things down in terms of the apostasy during the flow of history, as well as the conclusion of the 2300 days, so that we understand that now Jesus has been ushered into a new phase of ministry in our behalf, extending His grace to us as our great high priest in the courts of heaven. And these are compelling things. These were so compelling to our early church fathers as an Adventist community that it compelled them to a global vision of mission and evangelism and radical change and radical response in their life. And all I can say is what Daniel, as Daniel draws to a close, and Daniel himself is struggling with the meaning of these days and the flow of history and how you calculate all these things. All I can say is we stand still in need of the concepts and the insights that these prophecies unfold in terms of our understanding of where we stand in salvation history and what God is inviting us to do and be in this world. Now, our third point of Danielic wisdom is living moral spiritual wisdom opens the way for deeper wisdom. In a nutshell, this basically says if you live what you already know, you are opening your heart now to deeper things. This was finessed in my thinking this last week as I spent some time in some intense training on how to relate to people of the in Islam. And the principle is when you start with your Muslim friends, the first thing you want to do is not challenge them on what they believe, disagree or create an argument or get on an ideological thing, but the first thing that you want to do is you want to ask them, are you a practicing Muslim? Are you following God in the fullness of how you understand Him now? And as you nurture and encourage that person or those individuals to grow and to nuance the piety in their own life, they are actually opening their hearts to God because they are being sincere with God as they understand Him. Now, here we find in Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We've already seen this before. And we find Daniel being convicted on a very small matter. But we all know how that small matter broadened out into broader things. Daniel knew that he shouldn't eat pork. Daniel knew that he shouldn't be drinking alcoholic beverages. Daniel knew that some of these things that were being placed before him to eat were not going to be good for him and that they would impact on him. So he stood for what he knew. But look what God did. God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. And then in verse 20, they were 10 times better. You know that story. And so the principle is that when we live up to the light that we already know, we surrender ourselves fully to God as He has revealed Himself to us where we are. It actually sets the pathway, opens the door for us to grow in Jesus more. If you want to grow in Jesus, you want to have moral spiritual insight, you want to have insight for the times, then choose to implement and obey and do those things what God has already clearly spoken to you about. That is wisdom. That is wisdom that will open your mind, open your heart to deeper wisdom, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And if we are not totally spiritually absorbed where we are with what we know, God will not open up anything new for us. Number four, prophetic insight is both moral and spiritual. It's not just ideological. It's not just esoteric knowledge. It's not just insights so that we can have a list of last day events, but there is a moral purpose for prophecy, and there is an evangelistic dimension to prophecy as well. Notice the parallelism in Daniel 12, verse 3. Those who have insight or wisdom, depending on the translation you read, will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of the heaven, and those who lead the many to righteous, so you have two ways of talking about the same group, people who have insight are going to be people who lead others to righteousness, right? People who have insight are going to shine like the brightness of the star, expanse of heaven, and people who lead the many to righteousness will shine also like the stars forever and ever. This is an intentional Hebrew parallelism here. And the idea is that wisdom is linked to evangelism, how we share insights with others, and ultimately how this insight that we share with others has to do with righteousness. This has to do with the way God saves, how He forgives us and cleanses us from our sins, righteousness, and how God comes into our lives and empowers and transforms and changes our lives. It's moral, spiritual. And as I was reminded this last week, how can we ever talk to anybody about where they are spiritually and connect with them on the heart level on spiritual matters if we are not there ourselves? We will always discuss on the doctrinal level or the surface level. But it's when you connect on that heart level that deals with the real issues of life and where a person is with God. That is what opens hearts to hear the Word of God. And that's a biblical principle. Also here in Daniel 12:10, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. Well, the wicked will not understand because they continue to act wickedly. So there is a link between acting righteously, obeying God, and having understanding. Those who have insight will understand. The implication is those who have insight are those who have surrendered themselves, who have chosen to obey what God has graciously revealed to them. And of course, you remember this passage here in 1 Corinthians 2:14, where it talks about how the natural human being, the unconverted human being, just does not see things, just does not understand things, that spiritual things are indeed spiritually discerned. And you remember John 7:17, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus is giving us a principle. If you really want to know God's will, if you want to grow and expand in insight, if you want to grow in knowledge, then there needs to be a genuine willingness to do that. And that genuine willingness is usually linked to how you have already responded to the light that God has given you. And this is the moral side of this wisdom. And coming back to this parallelism, insight, those who have insight are going to be leading people to righteousness. They are going to be helping people see the implications of truth for these last days, how it brings life change, how it brings change of thinking, change of behavior, change of character, change of values, change of character. Daniel 11:33, those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. That's the kind of wisdom I want. How about you? Do you want to be wise? How many of you want to be wise? You want to shine like the stars of heaven? Then to be wise and shine like the stars of heaven means that you understand your influence, you understand your role, who you are in this world, and what God has invited you to do, and how who you are yourself in your own obedience to God, your own self-surrender to God, your own journey with God is linked inextricably to where you are in leading others to light. This is the wisdom of which Scripture speaks to us. And finally, prophetic insight touches character and destiny. And you find this, you can read this for yourself. Our time is slipping away here this morning. You can read this for yourself as the book of Daniel closes. Daniel has said, you need to seal up this book. Daniel is still struggling to understand some of these things in his own life. But God promises Daniel, you're going to go to sleep. These things are going to happen. You're going to go to sleep, and someday, Daniel, you are going to stand in your lot. You're going to stand up. You're going to be part of that resurrection. Michael is going to stand for you. You read chapter 12, and you will find words of a gracious God giving assurance to a trouble-minded prophet who can't fully understand everything, but enough to know that character and destiny are linked together. Daniel, you're going to make it. Daniel, well-beloved of heaven, you will stand in your lot, in your place. Oh, how I long for my Lord to say those words to me. Amen. This is what this wisdom brings. And so dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand. Dare to stand alone, if that's what it means. Dare to have a purpose, a conviction, a commitment, a conviction, a purpose that is firm. It's unmovable, unchangeable. You are locked there because of what the Word of God says and because of who God is. And you dare to make it known. When I look at Daniel in the lion's den, I'm reminded of 70 years of spiritual vigilance. 70 years passed between Daniel 1 and Daniel 6. By the time we are in Daniel 6, Daniel is 85, 86, 87, maybe 88 years old. He's had 70 years of spiritual vigilance. And in those 70 years of commitment, in those 70 years of consecration, in those 70 years of faithfulness, he has gone on into deeper understanding of biblical truth, prophetic truth, and what God is doing in time and history. He did not understand everything, but nevertheless, he had powerful moral, spiritual influence in every generation of which he lived among the Persian and the Babylonian leaders. And I say, wow. And then I see how God is inviting me. God is inviting you to that long obedience in the same direction. God is inviting you and He's inviting me to have this picture of eternity, this large picture, the prophetic wisdom of the great controversy so stirring in our breasts that we cannot be anything else but what that says we need to be in Jesus Christ. And to yield ourselves fully and wholly. This is wisdom. This is the kind of wisdom that our world needs to see. This is the kind of wisdom that our world does not understand. This is the kind of wisdom that draws together all the other elements of wisdom of which we've looked at in our journey. It capsules it together in the setting of eternity and what God is doing for His people. And I'm reminded of these words in closing. Ellen White says, "The greatest want of the world is the one of men and women who will not be bought or sold, men and women who in their uttermost souls are true and honest, men and women who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men and women whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle is to the pole, who will stand for the right though the heavens fall." That is conviction. That is identity. That is commitment. That is character. That is wisdom. And she goes on to say, but such a character is not the result of accident. It is not due to special favors or endowments of providence. A noble character is the result of self-discipline, the subject of the lower to the higher nature, the surrender of self to the service of love to God and to our fellow human beings. And so from the cross of Calvary, you will hear more of this from me over the next few weeks as I begin a new series next Sabbath called The Radical Pursuit. You'll hear more on this, that from the cross of Christ, from the cross of Calvary, Christ calls us to unreserved commitment. As we sing our closing hymn today, once to every man and nation, I want you to ask yourself, what wisdom do you have? Do you have this prophetic wisdom? This picture of time and eternity that God has given, and are you of this unreserved commitment to God? Are you willing to make that kind of commitment this morning?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.